This hour is brought to you by Jewel Osco. Check the For You app for more deals.
Good luck in the WNBA. I hope you have a great first season.
Thanks. I'm sure it will be a big first step for me. But it's just one step for the WNBA. Thanks to all the great players like Cheryl Swoops, Lisa Leslie, Cynthia Cooper, the great Dawn Staley, and my basketball hero, Maya Moore. These are the women that kicked down the door so I could walk inside. So I want to thank them tonight for laying the foundation.
Where's Diana Taurasi?
I see you, Caitlin, and I like the petty. I like it.
That was on Saturday Night Live when they brought her out to sit next to Michael Che and roast him for the jokes that he had made about women's basketball in the past. It was a nicely done segment, if a little bit stilted and very much card-bound.
Yeah, she's not an actor. She's a basketball player. I guess she is an actor. But commercials are different than doing something live. And
she was rocking Prada last night.
She brought three of her teammates to Saturday Night Live, so that's pretty cool. She was rocking Prada as the number one pick yesterday. And I like that in the most respectful way ever, she disrespected Diana Taurasi.
I can't tell if the shade that is being directed towards Caitlin Clark, particularly by Diana Taurasi, whose work I have to say I like in general. I think she's funny.
She says stuff. Yes.
She says stuff.
She's fearless.
She's self-deprecating.
Yeah.
She says stuff, and I generally like her work. But she's
a great basketball player. One of the greatest that's ever played. Legitimately in the GOAT conversation.
And she and Breonna Stewart have been...
And Sue Bird.
And been very...
And Rebecca Lobo.
Openly dismissive of Caitlin Clark. Noticeably so. Well, she hasn't won a championship. Well, she wasn't part of the Connecticut program. Like, okay. And
You mean the Connecticut program that had all of you in it? That you look at the teams of the championships and you go... Name me a player on Iowa's team that's as good as any of the starting five that Diana Taurasi played with, because one of them was Sue Bird, by the way, perhaps the greatest point guard who's ever lived. Like, go ahead. Go look at the roster. And I know that one of the young ladies from Iowa got drafted last night late, but go ahead. You tell me. But here's the thing. There's so much that's wrapped into the Caitlin Clark conversation. And I think that she has handled things better than most would. Like, it is expert level stuff that she's doing. That she understands how her brand is crafted and she stays inside of it very well.
I would tell all these people who are somehow still pushing back against the Caitlin Clark effect, stop. Embrace it. Get on the right side of history. It's good for you. It's good for everybody's bottom line. I think we're past the point in women's sports where, and certainly in basketball, where it's, well, we have to ask people to support. No, now it's just a sport. You got fans. And maybe it's a good sign if you got old heads embittered and bitching about the new hotness and the new richness. And if they don't like it, fine.
Well, I do think that there is still some growth here, and there are still some things that need to be explored. The Caitlin Clark effect is going to have what some people will deem a negative effect on women's college basketball going forward. This draft class, like in its entirety, when you start looking at the players that are in it, and there's still great players that are left on the college level. Haley Van Lith decided to go to Mississippi State, which I think is a good choice for her.
Get away from that coach.
Paige Beckers is still out here too. AZ FUD, like they're still out at Connecticut. But when you look at this group of women that have been drafted, and if you want to go back into the last year's draft too, and you can add Aaliyah Boston to this, look at the star power that's gone from college basketball. Other stars are going to have to rise up, but I don't think that anyone's going to be able to reach the same level as what Caitlin Clark did. So there's going to be a drop-off. And there are going to be people that are going to look at the drop-off and go, see, people aren't really that interested. We'll see if there are other stars that grow out of this that
I think the Caitlin Clark generation, those seeds just got planted.
Yeah, we're probably 10 years away.
You're talking about 6, 7, 8, 9-year-olds.
Yeah, we're probably 10 years away from those players making their way to the stage. So then you kind of go back to Dawn's the star. You know what I mean? Like, the coaches will kind of go back to being the stars. And clearly, Dawn Staley, I don't know if I've ever, I think the, I shouldn't say ever. I think the only other person that I've seen have an effect on the sport where it's not just universal respect, it's love, is Popovich. Like, the way the NBA players react to him, even during games, is similar to how people react to Dawn Staley. Like, they just like being around her. Even Caitlin Clark, like, as she's going down her list of great players, she mentions, all of them black, by the way, she mentions Dawn Staley in there. Dawn Staley was a two-time player of the year. You know, one of the greats to ever do it. But she has somehow figured out how to really relate to people and share the game and grow the game. That I don't know if that's taught or if that's just what her personality is. And maybe because she was a point guard, she has a better insight into this type of stuff. I don't know. But it's very reminiscent of how guys look forward to seeing Greg Popovich. I've been in press conferences where players have come in because Greg Popovich is there and they want to say hello. Like, that's a wild thing to happen. People respect Gino Auriemma because of all the winning that he's done. I'm sure Pat Summitt had a lot of this because
Gino Auriemma has done as much whining as winning.
I agree. And strangely enough, his players are still out here even after cementing their own greatness as players. I was just like, man, this really feels like old school haterade that's going on.
I think it is. And maybe there's something I'm not missing, that there's something culturally that I'm not factoring in here other than the Connecticut thing. But Christine Brennan of USA Today was working really hard on this story. And she was trying to talk to Breonna Stewart and trying to talk to Diana Taurasi and kept running into the hand from the agent.
Uh-huh.
And the agent was like, no, no, no. So she finally, Lindsay Colas is the agent. And she said, I asked Lindsay Colas several times if I could speak to Stewart with no luck. Finally, I texted two questions for her to send to Stewart, who Colas said was out of the country. So tell me if you think these are two well-crafted questions by Christine Brennan.
Okay.
Because I do.
More than likely, yes, because she's an award-winning writer. But
one, knowing the incredible college records and unprecedented historic impact Caitlin Clark has had on women's basketball, do you regret your comment about her having to win a title to be one of the greats? It wasn't to be the GOAT. It was to be one of the greats, which could encompass dozens of people, even hundreds. Two, had you gone to Syracuse or another school like that, like in Iowa, rather than UConn, with so many future WNBA players as teammates, would you have been able to take that team to two consecutive NCAA finals?
Great question.
And the reply was in a text message from the agent. Quote, Caitlin is a star, and we are excited to have her in the WNBA. She is unquestionably great for what she has accomplished on and off the court.
That doesn't answer the questions.
And then she mentions Diana Taurasi.
Of course she does.
She mentions Sue Bird.
As she should.
And calls them.
And Maya Moore.
Calls them out directly. The problem for Taurasi is all the new eyeballs being brought to the game for the first time by Clark. The millions of new fans don't necessarily know much about Taurasi, but they're getting an introduction now. said, through Kolas, who's also Taurasi's agent, I asked for a comment from Taurasi or even a lead on locating a positive or praiseworthy quote or soundbite from Taurasi about Clark. I never heard back.
I'm not surprised. And Christine's 100% right. And I get where some of that comes from. Think about it this way. Diana Taurasi is like any great musician. And yeah, people dug her music and maybe even said, man, she really changed things. But she never quite got her due. You know, like made enough money, but didn't sell out arenas, didn't do the big tours, all of that stuff.
Talking like Little Richard.
Sure.
Somebody's like kind of, you know, invented rock and roll.
Sure.
And was always reminding people that he invented rock and roll.
I think that that's an excellent comp because that's exactly what Diana Taurasi is doing. She's like, scoreboard. Hey, look at all of this great stuff that I have done. Look at the elevation of the women's game that I have been a part of. And in a lot of places, like leading the charge. And now she's looking at Caitlin Clark's everywhere. And she's like, why wasn't I everywhere? And the reason that you weren't everywhere, or part of the reason, there are other reasons too. Part of the reason that you weren't everywhere is that we weren't ready culturally for this. And now we're ready for it.
That was part of it. And also because remember, Diana Taurasi, I have to phrase this, for one thing, rough around the edges as a player.
Yes.
Combative.
Yes.
Difficult.
Mean.
And yeah.
Absolutely
and
mean.
Not nice. Not nice. I believe there was a word that I remember you calling her, a word that we don't use anymore.
Dirty?
No, a little more evocative of a term for a hard-ass player that maybe crosses the edge, that isn't okay to use anymore, but we all threw it around. And you're like, hey, let's call it what it is. Let's keep it 100. That if Diana Taurasi were in the NBA, we'd be calling her this.
Right.
And I remember it vividly. It's also the fact, and she has talked about this too. And like I say, looks matter. They matter for men. They matter for anybody. And when you talk about marketing deals and faces on billboards, she said it. I've heard Diana Taurasi say it after games where somebody said, well, that wasn't exactly a pretty win. And she points to her own face and she goes, well, this ain't pretty either, but it's a win.
Yeah. And I mean, look, the Caitlin Clark Anne Hathaway thing has been made.
She was wearing Prada.
She was wearing Prada yesterday. And again, I think that...
You want to see the devil wear Prada? Here you go.
I think that whether it's Caitlin herself or her team, they have handled things beautifully. And I do feel bad for Diana Taurasi because she's so great. Like, she's so fun to watch. She is tough. You know, like, all of that stuff that you want in a player. But I can understand where some of it's coming from. Where some of the, where's my dollars? Why do I still have to be out here playing? Why didn't I get any of this love? I'm clearly one of the greatest that's ever played. But there are two roads that you can go down. And maybe her persona as a player doesn't allow for her to soften in a way like Candace Parker is similar level of greatness, similar super competitive, echo of the whistle type player. But Candace also has the opportunity that when she's on television, she can soften that. You can see her personality more. Mm-hmm. You get to be friends with Candace Parker when she's on TV.
Yeah, there's a little bit of code switch there that is a diplomatic and political skill.
Yes. And Diana's kind of like, I shouldn't have to do that. I should be allowed to be me. But that comes with us wondering like, wow, you guys are going pretty hard.
Mm-hmm.
on what's clearly something good that's going to happen. The WNBA is going to benefit from this, the inverse of what's going to happen to women's college basketball. There are going to be people who are going to be interested in the WNBA that have never been interested before. There are folks here that are in both of our timelines that, because they know who Camila Cardoso is and Angel Reese is, they're going to try to go see a game this year. Now, it might not be buying season tickets for the Sky, but it's extra money. Oh, I'm going to bring my sons to a game. I'm going to bring my daughters to a game this summer. Oh, they play at Wintrust? Oh, that's easy. We make a whole day out of it in the city. Like, that sort of thing. Caitlin Clark is going to magnify that. People are going to want to see her wherever she goes. Anywhere around the W, wherever she goes, people are going to want to see her. And I think that's good for everyone. It's going to be great for Caitlin, but it's going to be good for everyone around the league. And maybe the UConn players can get on board. Maybe if she wins a WNBA title, and considering that her and Aaliyah Boston are on the same team now, I think that there's a chance of that happening. Maybe then she can be one of the greatest.
That's Lawrence Holmes. I'm Dan Bernstein. The Bernstein and Holmes Show continues next. There is another basketball team. It's got a big game tomorrow night. And we're still in the dark about some important injury news. So we'll try to sort through this Bulls-Hawks matchup to win a game, to earn the right to win another game, to earn the right to get kicked in the dong. That's next on The Score.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I don't make time to, you know, extremely talented. You got DeJounte Murray been playing at a very high level when Trey was out. Having Trey back changes the dynamic of their team. They got a lot of young guys on their team that play extremely hard. So it's going to be a challenge. You know, they kicked our butt last time we played them. Man, we got an opportunity, you know, to put all the money on the table.
Yeah, they kicked your butt last time because of open corner threes. Vic Krejci is out there knocking them down. I mean, they got guys who can shoot, and they have another Bogdanovich. Every damn team's got a Bogdanovich on it. So with Trae Young back, the Hawks are a much better offensive team and a much worse defensive team. And usually, I don't worry about Trae Young at all against these Bulls because they've got the kryptonite. They've got Ayo Dosunmu. Ayo loves guarding Trae Young.
Do they?
And here's the thing. If Ayo's not over this quad bruise and you don't have the Trae Young stopper, you're in a little bit of trouble because you're short on bigs right now.
Big Z.
You're short on...
Brad Biggs talks basketball with you. No, it's got to be,
be a whistle.
It's got to be a sneaker squeak.
Squeaking sneaker and a whistle. Although if you notice, the guy's wearing these Under Armour shoes, they don't squeak anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is a thing. I forgot the exact model, but apparently there is a squeak-free sneaker, and I certainly would.
I kind of don't want that.
Do the cleats still go click-clack?
Spikes.
Spikes.
Baseball players wear spikes.
Oh, excuse me. Same thing.
We're going to send you an angry text.
I need squeaky basketball.
So we tried to do an earnest season wrap and preview when we recorded the Organizations Win Championships pod yesterday. And it just devolved into such dark Bulls nihilism. Like, it's the glory of the play-in was not enough to elevate us from the depths of Bulls realism. And anytime you're realistic, it always is like, well, where is this going and what are we doing and why do we do this? And are they going to re-sign DeMar? And then what happened?
And then we
end up just wanting to walk into the lake.
I think that you can put that aside until the Bulls are eliminated.
I tried to do it. I said that. Because usually we have a no doom spiraling rule. And he's like, I can't help it. They've been ninth all year, and now they're ninth, and they're still ninth, and they're ninth, and they're ninth, and they're ninth, and this is what ninth gets you, and they're not going anywhere.
Well, ninth seemingly is going to get you Joel Embiid if you win.
If you win, and they very well might not.
Correct. And then even if you were to win that game.
But that's what I said. And then here come the Celtics, Boston, who repeatedly kick you in the crotch, and then you go away.
But if you're a Bulls fan trying to hang on to just one more home game.
And supposedly DeMar's daughter is going to be there.
Oh, perfect.
Tomorrow night, supposedly she's going to be shrieking.
Good.
She's warming up right now.
It's a little late. A little late of a start for her, though, isn't it?
The 8:30 start?
Yeah, it's a little late.
She's going to get the day off next day.
I don't think that's how it worked last year. I think DeMar had her go to school the next day, if I remember correctly.
He did. He made it.
She had a test.
He made a point of it.
That's right.
Good. That's what we need. Pulling out the big guns. Make people uncomfortable. But that's where I'm at, Dan. I was listening to the Full Go pod, Jason's pod that he does. He and Callie, like, you want the doom scrolling? Like the picture that they painted of what's out there for the Bulls, very bleak. Also extremely entertaining listening to those two guys talk basketball. I'm trying to put myself in a place because I already watch one team in town looking at the bad because someone on the show has to. I'm trying to just enjoy, hear the Bulls in a single elimination game. How are they going to react to it? And if they win, great. Let's see how they react to a single elimination game on the road. What's wrong?
I'm looking at video of Io practicing right now at the Advocate Center. Darnell Mayberry has just posted this video. It says, Io Dosunmu testing his right quad contusion on the eve of Bulls play-in tournament game. Dosunmu missed the final four games of the regular season because of the injury. And, all right, he doesn't look like he's in any pain. He's moving. He's just jogging, but it doesn't look like there is a hitch in the proverbial giddy-up at this point. Catches a pass on the right wing, swings through, kicks it up to the top of the key to some random assistant coach, and back around it goes. Io fakes a shot, puts one up, and missed it in and out.
Do you have express written consent?
This isn't a live...
From the NBA to do play-by-play of a practice?
What if I have implied oral consent?
That's not what I asked you.
I'm not saying I do, but that wasn't play-by-play of a game. That was play-by-play of a posted video. That's all.
Just want to make sure you had the express written consent.
No, it's not a game broadcast. I don't need. I could have implied nodded consent.
I don't think you have that either.
I could. I could have smoke signals used as consent with nothing but implication and inference involved.
Isn't that how they figure out the Pope?
No.
Or they tell you about the Pope?
No, that's the white smoke. That Kentucky tells us about Mark Pope with blue smoke, I think.
He came off the bus with a championship trophy.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bunch of people transferred.
Well, everybody transfers from everywhere now.
It's true. That Kentucky thing is going to be interesting.
So's the Arkansas thing. So's the Illinois thing. And wait till Musk gets rolling at USC. As I guarantee you, he did the Pat Kennedy when he showed up. Just give me a phone and a sweatshirt and a
That's
car.
Right. That's right. Why not? So yeah, I'll be there tomorrow. Well, I won't be there because I have work, but I'll be there in spirit. And when I get home and sit on my couch, I'll be like, all right, let's see if the Bulls can do this. And hopefully Io's healthy so he can run around Trae Young all day. Like, that would be great. And then if they win, you go, okay, the guy that they can't beat, he's back in Philadelphia. I haven't looked on FanDuel. I should look on what the odds are for Philly to win the Eastern Conference. Because as a long shot bet right now, I bet I could get really long odds on a team that's really good. And unfortunately, they're playing in the play-in.
And the Western play-ins are tonight?
Yeah, the Lakers game, I think, is first, and then...
Good, because White Sox baseball, we don't have real baseball until 8:40, and I tried to watch some of the White Sox last night. I admit I tried.
Lakers-Pelicans is at 6:30, and then Golden State-Sacramento is at 9.
Okay. All right, there's your stuff.
Steph's last stand.
Philly is plus 850 to win the Eastern Conference right now.
I mean...
So that's 8.5 to 1?
They actually have the third best odds. It's the Celtics, then the Bucks, then the 76ers.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but there's, because the Giannis situation, nobody's sure about
He's not going to play in the Pacers
about
series.
The strained calf.
At least at the beginning of it. That's what the news has been. So, and they've been terrible since Doc took over. There's that. They still haven't figured out how to use Damian Lillard, which doesn't make any sense. Screen roll with Giannis. And, right? Like,
that's some coaching right there. There you go.
Hey.
Go get him.
Hey, one of you greatest 75 players of all time. Right. Why don't you guys run a two-man game with the other greatest 75 player of all time that's on your roster?
Why don't we force defenders into conflict with you two?
It would seem to be a good idea, yet for some reason it doesn't work. Did I see that Drew Holiday signed an extension?
Yeah, at his age, too.
And Grayson Allen?
He deserves it.
Grayson Allen's going to end up making over $200 million in the NBA.
Good player.
He is a good player. And what'd you call Jim Oberweis?
I'm Jim Oberweis, and I'm a penis. And I approve this message.
Another guy that fits in the same category is Diana Taurasi. Yeah.
Who, Oberweis?
No.
Or Grayson Allen.
Yeah. Very similar.
Yeah, a little bit.
Taurasi's just a much better player.
Mm-hmm.
But has some of those tendencies.
Give you some of that. I haven't gotten a ruling yet on the Oberweis decision here, whether or not.
Kind of seems like you can't have it.
Somebody said if it were Chapter 7 instead of Chapter 11, I could, because it's the difference between liquidation and reorganization. You don't want liquidation of your ice cream. But I don't know. There would be maybe something celebratory about it. The best part is how many horrible decisions that his business made. Family business there for 100 years, and this guy just dribbles it down his leg.
A lot of that going around. But I'm gonna brighten up the conversation. Yeah, we'll Oberweis.
Oberweis out of business. Here's a picture of Bernstein and Holmes.
Yeah, here we are.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, how's it going? But hey, I know that we joke about this, but we can see you from here, Wojo.
Hey.
We can see you from here. Now, we couldn't see you from where we were before.
Estamos aquí.
But we can see you from here.
Estamos.
On your ass, Wojo. We are on your ass.
That eye out.
You know what I'm saying?
Keep that eye out.
Unfortunately for us,
vamos.
We are moving into the part of the year where
people
will be outside and they more than likely will listen to a little bit more music.
No, that's fine. We just gotta maintain where we're at.
We can see them from here.
And once we get to late July, Bears stuff starts coming in. It's on.
It's on.
It's on.
Once we get to Bears training camp.
Oh. We should get a nice boost for the draft, too.
Bears training camp starts, and that's when I will then be fully fluent in la guitarra, and Lawrence is bringing the accordion out.
We just got a breaking news on the score of who one of our guests is going to be tomorrow. Dawn Staley tomorrow
Let's
at
go!
Noon.
Sweet.
I cannot wait to talk to Dawn. This is going to be awesome. You know what else is going to be awesome?
What?
Jeffrey Bear just walked into the Score Studios.
Jeffrey Bear. I thought that was he.
We are going to talk with the man who paints Chicago in the most beautiful light about his latest show creation, Chicago Mysteries. Jeffrey Bear will join us next in studio on The Score.
Bernstein and Holmes, middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com in Odyssey Station.
Everyone loves a good mystery, and Chicago has enough of them to fill a library.
I'm Jeffrey Bear. Let's see if we can solve some of Chicago's most perplexing mysteries, like these.
A saucer-shaped gray disc hovering above gate C-17.
Where did this thing come from?
Whoa! It's supposedly a portal to hell.
This?
Right here.
Caution, do not dig. Yeah. We don't know if there's anybody in there.
We don't know if there's anybody in there.
Why is that garage in the front?
Anybody here that wants to communicate?
Perhaps not.
Like, wow, it's an alligator.
It disappears and is never seen again.
Follow me down the rabbit hole as we explore Chicago mysteries.
Nicely done, studs. Well, I feel very mysteriously and whimsically teased by that. Chicago Mysteries premieres next Tuesday, April 16th. Our guest in studio, Jeffrey Bear, and a team of super sleuths is going to be investigating some of the city's strangest stories and attempt to solve some of its most baffling mysteries on WTTW. Cool stuff.
Thank you. I've never heard just the audio from the opening scene of the show. It plays. It like still makes you feel kind of like, what is that?
How did you get here where you're our tour guide? You're Chicago's tour guide, mm-hmm. both figuratively and literally.
Yes, I do tours for the Chicago Architecture Center. Yeah.
So how do we get to all of the different specials, whether it's Chicago by L or Chicago by drone, or how do we get to the mysteries?
Well, you know, we're always looking for something new to do on WTTW. And so we were having a meeting and my boss, Shelley, said, hey, what about Chicago Mysteries? And we all went, ooh, I don't know what that is, but it sounds like it could be a good show. And then we had to figure out what the show was.
Wow. Okay. So what went into the next part? Like, what was the next step? Did you already have mysteries in mind? Or was it one of those things where people went around the room and was like, yeah, I was wondering about mm-hmm. this or wondering about that?
Yeah, I mean, I have an extended community, including you, Lawrence, of people I put the word out to when we're developing a show. And hey, you know, so we got a lot of solicited a lot of people in our world for Chicago mysteries, things that they might think were mysterious. And, you know, what it ultimately landed on was fun. You know, for example, I always thought that the Tylenol murders was going to be one of the main mysteries in the show. And we actually filmed a bunch of interviews and everything. But we ended up cutting that from the TV show because the rest of the show is just so much fun. And then all of a sudden, boom, this thing lands in the middle of the show that's like, modern day, basically, in 1982, I think, unsolved horrible crime. And there are some horrible crimes in the show, but they're from like the 1800s, so we can sort of laugh at them now. And actually, we did put the Tylenol story as a kind of an extended web feature. So it's on the website. But it's just fun was kind of the bottom line that we figured out. You know, these are all really kind of fun.
So how much is it your job to take the fun out of it by debunking it? And how much of it is to embrace the element of mystery when all is said and done?
Well, that's what I like about the show is that some of them, not a lot, but some of them are unsolved. And I it's just a great story, kind of whether you solve it or not. It's kind of a great story. And I don't think solving it actually takes the fun out of it. I think we string you along till the end and then, oh, okay, that's the answer. So, I mean, I think there's some fun in finding out what the answer to the mystery is, too.
Look, I don't want to take away from people watching it, but is there anything that you can share with the Score listener of maybe some stuff that you didn't know when you jumped into this project?
Okay, so it might sound like kind of almost a trivial mystery, but one of the ones, and actually this is the one people seem to ask me the most about, is why don't we put a ketchup on a Chicago hot dog? So, you know, what I had always heard, and I don't buy it, is that, well, you know, because ketchup is loaded with sugar, and therefore it'll spoil the taste of the hot dog. That would be true if you were in you know, Denver or Los Angeles or New York or anywhere else. Why is it a Chicago thing that we don't put ketchup on a hot dog? And I got Monica Ang from Axios, who's a wonderful food reporter, and we went down to Sox Park, actually, to film this. And the answer, I will give away the answer. The answer is that a Chicago hot dog has seven specific ingredients that make it a Chicago hot dog, which are the origin of which are the literally the sort of immigrant history of Chicago. So the hot dog itself and the mustard are German. The vegetables, the particular vegetables, onions, tomatoes, pickle spear are sort of the contribution of the Greek and Italian greengrocers. The sport peppers might have come up with the Great Migration of African Americans to the South, or could be a Mexican contribution, et cetera. And so you've got this beautiful symphony of ingredients. Now, you know, you bomb that with ketchup, and it would just overpower all of those ingredients. And that's why we don't put ketchup on a Chicago hot dog. And I think I buy that as the answer.
So I've got three just off the top of my head written here where my curiosity would lie, and I'm sure all three of these have been brought up to you. Mm-hmm. From our sports perspective, and certainly with last baseball season, there was the incident at a White Sox game still unsolved as to why and how somebody got shot.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know, and the answers have been unsatisfying,
yeah.
And maybe there will be another iteration of this to determine what happened.
Well, I think maybe in 100 years we'll do that one.
Got okay.
Well, and we'll fair
all,
enough.
May we all be here. The Helen Brock murder, disappearance, alleged murder.
That actually was on our short list of things to include in the show. But, you know, there were so many fun ones that we had and I think part of the problem with that one is, you know, it's TV. So you have to have visuals to support it.
And you can go to a blast furnace out there in Indiana.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm seeing a picture of a horse right over here on the wall.
Right? And the last one, and some of us remember this, the Max Headroom Pirate TV incident.
That was also on our short list. So I would wager that there are many people listening to us right now who have no idea what you're talking about. Max Headroom was a cult TV show in, was it the 80s?
Yeah, maybe? ABC.
Yep. It was an actor named Matt Frewer, who a Canadian actor.
I loved it.
Who portrayed this sort of phantasmagoric half-man, half
AI almost. AI.
Yeah. So somebody intercepted WTTW's television signal and also WGN at one point and put this kind of mock Max Headroom figure. Like all of a sudden you're watching like daytime television in Chicago and up pops Max Headroom saying all these like bizarre and somewhat vulgar things. And then Channel 11 just comes back. And we had that on our list, but I just felt like it was a little too niche, a little too obscure for like the mass TV audience.
That's fair. You can check it out tonight. Chicago Mysteries will premiere on WTTW tonight. Our guest is Jeffrey Bear here in studio. All right. Have you ever, because anytime that I see any of the shows that you put together, I go, you know, you could just keep expanding and keep expanding and keep going and keep going and keep going. I get that this is Chicago Public Television. Has there been an appetite from people who are close, like folks in Indiana, folks in Wisconsin, have been like, you know, there's a lot of great stories that you could tell about the region in Northwest Indiana or, you know, Southern Wisconsin. Has anyone said, come up here or go out there and do some history on us?
For WTTW or for there? Yeah, well, I mean, we have done this in a number of shows. I did a show that I love called Chicago on Vacation, where we went to all these places, as you're describing, where people from Chicago go on vacation. Went to Lake Geneva, Mackinac Island, Starved Rock, up the coast of Michigan.
Saugatuck
went there. And that was really fun. And it was a big job. I mean, traveling around in the van to all these places that we were visiting. So, yeah, I mean, we do cover more than just Chicago. So I really try to include areas beyond just the city limits of Chicago in all my shows.
I enjoyed the Wynn Farm, like when you guys went.
Yeah.
That was fascinating.
So this was a show called Chicago from the Air, which we did during pandemic. You could talk about the ultimate in social distancing, shooting a whole show with a drone. And the second one, which was called Beyond Chicago from the Air. We went down the Mississippi. We showed the wind farm in central Illinois. We did try to go beyond Chicago. Cahokia Mounds. This is something people don't know about. Down by St. Louis, there is a city from like 1,000 years ago, which was larger than London at the time. It was a Native American city in Illinois that was larger than London at the time. This was before the United States was colonized and became a westernized country.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
My dad did a lot of this stuff when he was doing his research. My dad wrote a book about DuSable. So he went down there a lot and has stories about that area and how interesting it is. Mm-hmm.
So. People don't realize it. Yeah, and they've got a virtual, if you go down there to Cahokia, they've got this virtual thing set up where you hold up your phone or your iPad in front of you and point it at the mound, and you can see what the city looked like or what they imagined the city looked like, 1,000 years ago. Really cool.
All sorts of cool stuff is available at the program's companion website. It's WTTW.com/Chicago Mysteries. So if you want to learn about how the components of the Chicago handshake became what they were, why there's no Terminal 4 at O'Hare, there's all sorts of cool stuff. And you can find out everything you need to know about the broadcast schedule of Chicago Mysteries, hosted and co-written by our guest, Jeffrey Bear.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. Good luck with this new great show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm a big fan, and go Cubs.
Well, we are the flagship station of the Cubs.
And we will be talking baseball next with Chris Rose, who is going to join us on Sports Radio 670, The Score.